Mother's Day, of course, is such a special day, and I had really want to make it special for mothers. I want you to go from this place today feeling honoured, blessed, loved, and cared for. And you get first dibs on morning tea. Fathers, can you just restrain those hungry little children, terrors that are yours, and stop them from jumping in and stealing all the food before mums, or knocking mums over to get to the table. Okay, thank you all who are involved today in setting up and making it as great as it is. On this day of honour, I'm thankful, of course, for mothers. I'm thankful for my mother. She died 10 years ago, 2 days before Mother's Day. And so we put our Mother's Day cards, which we'd written out, into the casket with her when we buried her. But how vital are mothers? And I just want to relate that to you today, mothers, how vital your role is. And please, I know sometimes you carry loads that we husbands don't understand, but don't give up. Keep doing that, because you make a difference in the life of your child. I want to talk to you this morning about planting the seed. I've often wondered why some people go on with God and yet their siblings don't. And I think, did God just speak to the one and plant something in their heart that's taken them on in their journey of Christianity? I looked at some of the people in the Bible, just a number of them, and I thought, why? David was the youngest of 8 boys in the family, 2 girls and 8 boys. And he's the only one I see in Scripture. I'm not saying the others despise God or anything like that, but he's the only one I see in Scripture who had a real heart for God. And he wrote many of the Psalms, and his heart's just turned to God like that. Why did Joseph, the youngest of 12 brothers, 12 boys, have such a heart to God that he endured going through being falsely accused, prison? He was thrown in the pit by his brothers, rejected, went through, I think he was a number of years in prison before he became a prime minister in Egypt, and of course brought his family into Egypt during the famine and saved them. But why Joseph? What about the other 11? Why didn't they have such a heart for God that Joseph had? Why did Daniel have a heart for God? They took him down to Babylon. They made him into a eunuch. He could have been a bitter person. He could have said, look what God has done. My family was killed. I've been turned into somebody who can never have a family. And here I am stuck with these Babylonians. But he turned his heart towards God. I wonder why. Those are the questions I've asked over the years. Because, Lord, I thought, why does that happen? Because it matters. Why are you here? And perhaps you're here, but your sibling isn't. And they're not interested in the things of God, but you are. Why is that? And I'm going to try and answer that with you this morning and to help you. And I've got a point to make if you stick with me on this. Why do some have an inclination towards God and others don't out of the same family? I've thought on it. I've sought God and I prayed on it. And I've come to a conclusion. It may be right, it may be wrong, but it's my conclusion. I believe someone planted the seed. I think that's God's way of doing things, because the angels don't preach the gospel. Jesus doesn't come down and preach the gospel. He set his people to do it. And he plants a seed in them, and then they plant a seed in others. And so for Jacob, who became Israel, it was his grandfather Abraham, I believe, who planted the seed in Jacob's life. So Jacob was a twin. He was born second, and in that he lost he didn't have a right to the birthright. He didn't have a right to the blessing from his father, and yet he cheated and got it. Cheated his brother out of the birthright, and then cheated to get the blessing. Deceived his father to do that. And you think, man, after he's done that, how can God honor Jacob? And Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and you're welcome to correct me, but not right now. As far as I know, that's the only nation in the world named after a person. Rhodesia used to be, but that's gone. As far as I know, Israel's the only one. But if you know of another, please tell me. I'd like to know that. So here's this guy who cheated his way into receiving something. And the reason is why? Well, for 15 years of Jacob's life, Abraham was still alive. And I believe Esau was, of course, out in the fields. He was a hunter-gatherer, having fun, exploring, doing all that. But Jacob sort of liked to hang around home. And his grandfather was old. I think he was about 160 at the time when Jacob was born. And so Jacob spent time with him. And Abraham shared the stories of how he met God in person. In fact, in James 2, verse 23, it declares that the scripture says, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Man, what a, isn't that a mighty thing to be called a friend of God? So Abraham had these stories, he had the promises of God, and he shared them with Jacob. And something stirred in Jacob's heart. The seed was planted. I don't deserve this because my brother does. But he grabbed it and he said, I want it. The Bible says of Esau, God hated him, but he loved Jacob. And he gave Jacob the right to carry through. So Jacob's in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob had 12 sons that became the tribes of Israel. And Israel has prospered, and you keep your eyes on Israel. God's doing some mighty things there at the moment in the Middle East. So that's exciting. But that's because Jacob wanted it, and he cheated to get it. And what I'm trying to say to you is God looks at the heart. And if the heart there is so intense for God, I'm not saying you've got to do the wrong thing. I'm just saying Jacob did, but God honored it. And I'm not saying that's right, but that was God's choice, and I have to respect that. Then there was Moses. Where did the seed come from in him? Well, I believe from his mother, because she protected him. She put him in a reed boat, floated him down the Nile. The daughter of Pharaoh found the baby, took her as his son, and then employed Moses' mother to be the nanny to look after the child. And Moses spent 40 years in Egypt as a prince of Egypt. And then he turned because he knew that he was different. He knew that God had called him. The seed was planted by his mother because he was a special child. Then in Acts 13 verse 22, the scripture says of David, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave a testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Why David? What about the other brothers? Where were they? How come David had such a heart? Well, I'm going to cover that this morning, but perhaps David's mother had a great input. I don't know. We don't know who his mother was. There's some suggestion that David's mother wasn't married to David's father, which was sometimes what they did in those days. They had handmaidens, and they also had children by them. That's what happened with Jacob. That's why he had 12 sons. They didn't all come from, they came from four women altogether. Why? David had a heart towards God. Why did David have a heart towards God? Because somebody planted a seed. Okay, there's others like Daniel, whom we don't know. But this morning I want to talk about Ruth. And I'm going to read a scripture, and I'd like to read these 18 verses, and we'll put them on the heroes of faith. You know, I was glad to hear the word hero come up in that wind beneath my wings. I've got heroes of faith in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and I look at them. And one of the reasons I look at them, I say, why were their hearts set in such a way? Why did they sometimes had to endure what they endured to become what they became for God? But let's look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I should just mention Moab was opposed to Israel. And so this was a very, very desperate move for a man to go down to Moab from Bethlehem. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. Now that's another no-no. Fancy marrying Moabite women when there's lots of good, Jewish women for them to marry. The name of the one was Orpah, the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. You're starting to see the hand of God moving here. You know, it's only when you read the rest of the story, but you see the hand of God in this, that these died. So the woman survived, her two sons and her husband. Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion, so the woman survived. her two sons and her husband. Yeah, she survived them. Right? Verse 6. Then she arose with the daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that the country of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law and her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. These, to me, are some of the most powerful words in the Bible, the next two verses. Every time I read this book and I read these verses, something stirs in my spirit. This is what Ruth said. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. I am always moved when I read that, because I hear something. There's something speaks out of that. There's something in Ruth's heart. How did that seed get there? Well, I believe Ruth planted that seed. She told Naomi about the God of Israel, how he was related to his people, how he'd redeemed his people, what he was doing, what the planned future was. And a seed was planted in Naomi's heart. Why would she choose to go from her country, her culture, her people, her extended family, and her possibility of having a husband in Moab to return to Israel with a mother-in-law? Why would she do that? Because something of God stirred. You see, God, somebody plants a seed and then God causes it to germinate and to bring forth his will. And so I know it sounds cruel, but I believe that the death of Naomi's husband and her two sons was in God's will. And perhaps God was the reason that they died, because he had a future plan. And he wanted to bring a woman named Ruth, because he saw in Ruth a woman who would receive the seed of God and rise up to become what he wanted her to become. And so Ruth returned with Naomi. And then she, through the whole process, she found a husband and they had children, and she became the grandmother of who eventually became King David. She was the grandmother of David. And I'd like to suggest this. She was the one who sowed the seed in David's life. Because as grandmas have a great place. Grandmas, I just want you to know that. Thank you, Grandma. Grandmothers put things into children, and I mean, we need grandparents, don't we? And I think one of the sad things is, as a society, you know, we move so much that we leave grandparents behind. That doesn't mean we're not in contact with them and relating. I mean, I've spent a fortune travelling to and from the United States only for my granddaughter, because we want to be a part of a life. We want to encourage her. And help to build something there along with the parents. So just warning you, Marnie, you better save up, because when your grandkids start coming, where's your wife this morning? With the family down south. Yeah, right. That's good. So she was the godly influence on David. That's my belief, that into David's life she planted something that awakened in David a heart for God, so that God would say, he's a man after my own heart. You know, why is that? She was a grandmother to the other brothers of David, and they were all older, so she would have had, you know, she would have cuddled them, held them, talked to them. Why weren't they so inclined? I don't know. But sometimes the seed has to find the right ground to germinate and grow. And that's what Ruth brought to David. I heard a story a number of years ago, and a man was telling the story, and he said, my wife and I were due to travel between two cities in the United States. And he said, as we got to the gate, the Holy Spirit said to me, don't go on this plane. Take the next flight. And so he got to the gate and he said to the lady, look, I'm sorry, we're going to have to reschedule our flight. We won't be going, told his wife. And they went back and rescheduled and they flew on the next flight to that city. And when they landed, they heard the news that the plane that they were first going to go on had crashed and everybody was killed. And he told the story to a group of people, and a man approached him later on and said, oh, I suppose you think you're special. God spoke to you. What about all those other people? And this guy who the Spirit of God had spoken, who said, I believe God was speaking to all of them. I was the only one who was listening. You see, and that can be true of the brothers of David or the brothers of Joseph. They weren't listening. When the Spirit of God was trying to draw them into something more, they didn't listen. Can I just say, mums, you have a tremendous part to play in sowing the seed into your children, to allow God to germinate the seed. You see, it's my belief that children see the world through the lens of their mother's eyes, certainly in those first 5 years. Yeah, dads, we have a lot to play in that, but I just think that that's it with mums and children. And so, mums, you need to be planting the seed, and they will see it through your eyes. And if you're a godly person and you speak well of the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ as Savior, that something will happen in the hearts of your children that will begin to bear fruit later on as the seed grows. You saw my daughter Jennifer on the screen this morning, and I just, if you'll forgive me, I just want to honor my wife this morning and show great respect to her. You know, with Jennifer, she, Denise, would take time with our daughter and made sure we prayed for her every night. She read us stories, particularly Christian stories, Christian Bible stories and others. She played worship music for her. She modelled what it was to be someone who loved God and honoured God. And she brought her to church twice every Sunday, through all of her, you know, right from the start. And that's those days we used to have church twice on Sunday. I mean, I know that's a challenge for parents to bring kids at night. They sit them under the seat. Ben can say the same of his parents. His mum brought him to church along with his brother and sister and made him behave. Yeah. Not you, Ben. I'm talking about the others here. You sow a seed. That's so important. And I just honour you, darling, for that you did that with our daughter. I know that, you know, I had something to do, but you did so much. You made that happen in a life. And now we can look at her, one of over 300 females in that course, selected as the student of the year there and awarded that, and I believe she deserved it, and you're going to get to see her in July. She'll be here and I'll get her to preach, so get ready for that. It's going to be great. And so, mums, I'm just saying it's so important. And can I encourage mums, sow the seed, pray over your children, do all you can, pay the price, make the sacrifice, and put down the mobile phones. We were in a Chick-fil-A restaurant about 4 weeks ago in the US. And that's owned by Christians. They close on Sunday. They do not open on Sunday, which I think is a great thing. And their chicken is quite good. I wouldn't fly to the US for it. But they had this playground, and it's inside, and it's behind a glass glass wall with a door that opens and closes, a glass door. And so Zara loved going in there. So we were over there for lunch with Zara, and she wanted to go in and play inside, and it wasn't that great. There's a tube that comes down. They can, like, a slippery slide. There's stairs. There's not much else to do down there. But inside there was this little girl, probably about 4 years of age, and she was just screaming. Now, she wasn't screaming because she was upset. She wasn't screaming because she was hurt. She wasn't screaming because some kid pushed her or anything like that. She was just screaming. And boy, was she loud. Even with the door closed, it was ear-piercing. And Zara's standing in there covering her ears while this girl's screaming. And her parents were sitting across from us, closer to the place, both of them on their phones, absolutely intent on their phones, not even noticing that their daughter is screaming like that. And I thought, yep, that's how it is. Parents get on their phones these days and ignore their children. The only thing you should be doing with your phone, ladies and gentlemen, or ladies particularly, is to show them Bible stories or play them worship music around your kids. Because you know what will happen? The day will come they'll pick up their phone when you're older and you'll be ignored. Come on. I'm speaking in love this morning. Love your kids. Do that for them. Take the time. Don't ever have phones at the dinner table. Sit down for regular meals. Put aside those things. They're temporary. You can get to that later. Your kids are what you have to sow into. Mums, you make a huge difference in the life of your child. And husbands, I'm encouraging you to encourage your wives in what they do. Show them respect and love, and just help them as they work with those children. May I also say it's important that you bring them to church, because you may sow the seed, but the church is here to help water it. It's helped the seed to germinate and to grow. And what a thing this morning to see all those kids. I was just moved by that. We are here for all generations. I don't care if you're under 8 or over 80. It doesn't matter. We're here for you. But we have to work with the next generation. We have to encourage them. I just was blown away with all those kids. And I think you, when you get the chance, thank Miss Jem for the work she does. She's not here now. She's in... are you Jem? Is that you up the beach? No. She's with the kids. But thank her for what she does. She is helping you. You sown a seed, she's helping that seed grow. And I'm just saying, the importance of coming to church. Let me tell you this. If you do other things Sunday morning, you know, go visit, get into sport, you know, just cruise around, read the Sunday papers, whatever, you're saying to your kids there's something more important than church. And church is important. This is a community. This is where you're loved. This is where you're encouraged. This is where we worship God and the presence of God comes. This is where the Word of God comes to your life. And when you deny yourself in not coming to church, you miss out. I'm grateful again for Denise. When we started dating, I used to say, couldn't we have a Sunday night off and go do something else? No, she said, we have to go to church. Now, I struggled with that in the early days because I was a new Christian. But I'm thankful for that because she brought a discipline into our lives and that says church is important. And believe me, church is important. It's important for your life, but it's very important for the kids. And so may I just encourage you with that, mothers, because I believe that you make a huge, huge difference in the lives of children. And can I give you a negative thought? Hell wants your children. And hell is out to get your children. And I don't think that's hard to see in the direction that the world has taken. I'm reading an article today about smacking children. And they're sort of, they're a little bit on the, well, sometimes it's okay. But, you know, then the other side says, never okay to smack a child. Well, I'm not going to enter into that argument this morning. I've had my share of smacks and I'm still out of therapy. So we're getting on with life. So, folks, I'm not encouraging you to smack your kids, by the way. I don't mean that. But I'm just saying, you can see what the world has done. When they took caning out of school, the standards of education dropped, and dramatically dropped there. The respect for teachers dropped dramatically. It's why teachers feel threatened. The problem in society, they teachers are leaving the profession because kids don't respect them. And there's no power to make them respect them. So let's leave that, but I'm coming back to mothers. So this morning, mums, we're here to help you. We're here to love you. We're here to love your children. And we really want to see those children go on to become all that God intends for them. And so with that in mind, there's things we do every Mother's Day that I want to do this morning. It's a tradition. I invite all the women to come join me at the front so I can pray for you. And if you're visiting today and you came along with family on Mother's Day, God bless you for that. We honour you and love you and pray that you'll be blessed before you go home. But women, please come. And that includes all ages of female. Because God gave women to be a great gift to men. And so men, that's why we honour women. We honour the gift that God gave. Just move forward a little bit. There's a lot of women coming. We want them all to get here. What great women. Wow. Yeah, just getting a little closer. There's still more women coming. We want to fit them all in if we can. So we have with us, obviously, grandmothers. Neri, you're having a birthday. When is it?
Tomorrow.
I won't tell them how old you are, but I know you're a grandma, so that's good. Happy birthday for tomorrow. We have grandmothers. We have mothers. We have children, female children, some of them 1, 2 years of age. Women, God set his hand on you and brought you to be a companion for the man he had created. And in God's eyes, women are very special. That's why when a man lifts his hand against a woman, he's affronting God in that action. But I want to pray for you today. I really want to bless you. And may this day be filled with just something so special. I know some of us think of our mothers who've gone on. I pray that you can think of your mother with pleasant memories. But if you haven't, well, ask God to help you to get past that. Amen. So would you just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and we join together. Father, this morning, I know you look upon all of these wonderful, wonderful women that you've given. And I pray, Lord, this day that upon their lives will come the presence of God, the hand of God, the blessing of God, the intent of God, the provision of God. Lord, may they just be filled with an understanding of their role as they work with children, their children, and other children, as they plant the seed. Lord, may there be such an awareness in their hearts, such a vision, such a hope. Oh God, we're in awe. I stand as a man. I'm in awe of the gift that you would bring, the women that you would bring. Lord, may they rise up. May they have an anointing upon their lives to do everything that you call them to do, to achieve more than can possibly be conceived in their own minds, but that they can help young people, male and female, but they can help them grow and to know God. May they plant seeds, Lord, that you will cause to germinate for your glory and for the great blessing of the kingdom of God. I speak over them this morning, life in Jesus Christ. I speak blessing. I speak hope. I speak the wonder of God. I speak the awakening of the Spirit of God in their very spirits and lives. to know you in a greater measure. Thank you, Lord, for each of these precious people. May your love abound to them. May the blessing of your love just touch them this morning in a special way. May they know how precious they are in your sight. We thank you, our God, again, in Jesus' name. Ladies, on behalf of this church, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for being here. I thank you that you contribute so much to society in raising children, in planting seeds. And I just convey the love of this church to you this morning. We love you. We pray for you. We care for you. And so, men, I'm going to ask you to stand and honour these women this morning. Would you do that? Just clap and really give them a great appreciation. Amen, Lord.